Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. It's one of the most misunderstood parables in the Gospels, because what we tend to hear is the master praising the steward for his dishonesty, which is not at all the point. Praises him for his shrewdness. Now that's quite something. Then secondly, what is mammon? Greek word, mammon. Simply transliterated into the English. Change the letters, pronounce it the same, and then it has connotations. Now, I love the word because it doesn't settle into any of the English words. Money? Yeah, but more. Wealth? Yes, but more. What is mammon? Mammon, then, is everything we hoard in this life. It's the stuff you keep in your house. The stuff that you keep in your bank account. The nice car. Who's bought a car recently? Within the last couple of years. I know a few of you have. Yep, okay. It's nice. You buy a new car, it smells nice. Drives very well. Until you find out that there were things that were not made right about it. And then you're into the dealer. But mammon goes beyond that. It means all your abilities, all of the time, all of the days, all of the hours that you have to spend in this life, in the future, in this life. That's all the mammon. All the things that you take pride in and all the things that your heart turns toward. And when your heart turns toward them in a certain way, that makes it mammon. How many things can we make into mammon? Can I make my reputation into it? Yeah. Can I make my good works into it? Can I make my knowledge of the Bible into it? Guess what? Yes. And when Jesus says that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Because it will all fail. It will all be gone. Everything in this life. That includes relationships and family. Finally, we give them up. And we lose them when we pass into death or when somebody that we love passes into death. That relationship is gone. They're separated. And we lose it all. A week or so ago, meeting with other pastors, someone started talking about people in his congregation who were priding themselves on their repentance. Can you make that into mammon? Put it another way, can you repent your way into heaven? And the answer is no, not even that. Does my faith earn me heaven? And the answer again is, no, not even that. What then opens heaven and earns heaven for me? And the answer, of course, is what Jesus has done on the cross. The only thing that lasts. And there's a quote from a missionary, then martyr, martyred real early on getting to the mission field, but who said before he went, traveled around raising money and heading off to the mission field, and he said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to keep what he cannot lose. And he laid down his life, and the life that God gave endures. So mammon. And everything we have is the unrighteous mammon. Second part. And the master of the steward commended the dishonest steward for his shrewdness. And here's an illustration I never, ever, ever thought I was going to use for a sermon. Mostly because I had no idea it was an illustration until recently. How many of you are aware of the incident, was it Australia or New Zealand, of the guy who was going to get fired, and he brought with him to the meeting where he was going to get fired, he brought an emotional support clown. Yeah. And going, this is wild. And it's outrageous. And it sounds really silly. It's a bunch of this world foolishness. Okay, there's more to the story. His job was in marketing. And if you're in marketing, you want to be able to do outrageous things that get people's attention, okay? Second part. The clown during the meeting was making balloon animals and was so loud making the balloon animals that people outside of the meeting room were getting distracted and they had to ask him to tone it down. That's just a throwaway. Third part, he's got another job. Real quickly, he got everybody's attention. Make friends for yourselves with the mammon of unrighteousness. That one meeting where he was going to get fired, and he uses that to get everybody in the world's attention, and now he has a job again. Isn't that quite some illustration? But the lesson then comes to us. All of these things that are mammon, which includes all of our time, our talents, everything in this life, is the mammon of unrighteousness. Is so partly because, well, St. Augustine said this, the righteous man sins in all his good works. And Isaiah said this, all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. So Augustine was simply following Isaiah. And everything we do is pulled into this sinfulness that has infected every single part of our lives, including our faith, because we can take pride in our faith, including our repentance, because we're repenting better than others. Hey, that confession of sins, that was a pretty good one today, wasn't it? Pride. And try and do this, now that I say it to you. Pray the Lord's Prayer without a single outside thought barging in. everything in this life. Make friends for yourselves with the mammon of unrighteousness. The paradox is that while all of it is forfeit, all of it must be given up, God then gives us that time for the remainder of our lives to live in service to Him and in love for our neighbor. And it's a call to stewardship in the finest sense, to use those things, the time, the talents, the ability, the mammon, the possessions, the everything, all that we have pride in, to use them for the sake of the kingdom of God. Because they will all be lost. And what then? And if we have used it for the sake of the kingdom of God, well, the words of Jesus, that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And we could count that as a prideful thing, and then it would be drawn into the sinfulness, which means we have to go on to the third part. And that is to set the contrast. You know, I know a couple that it happened that the wife left her faith in God, turned away from faith. And the husband then, faced with the choice, is he going to continue on faithful to God and lose his wife, or is he going to walk away from God, walk away from the faith, and stay with his wife? And he chose to leave the faith. It's a terrible thing. And his name was Adam. And hers was Eve. And that's why we're all in the fix we're in. Everything became then mammon of unrighteousness. They had everything and chose to walk away from God. By contrast, I know somebody who is living an absolutely perfect life. Upright, respectable, truthful in every way, faithful as the day is long, following God, serving God, treasuring the scriptures, praying daily, and devoting not just a couple of minutes, but long time in prayer. He had the choice of whether to follow his friends into sin and unrighteousness, or whether to suffer in their place. And now you know who he is. Jesus, who had everything and chose to give that up. Who, though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being obedient unto death, even death on a cross, accepting not only the punishment and suffering, but the shame, to have the whole world for that time turn against him and declare that he was the scum of the earth. And he did that. He did that for us, expending what he had not lost, had not forfeited, willingly giving it up, so that you and I, who have forfeited everything because of our sin, that we might receive his righteousness and his life and his eternity. What then do we do with the stuff we have now? And Paul says, everything that I have, all that I could pride myself in, I count it as rubbish in the face of, in comparison with, the value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. What then do we do with our lives? It's all mammon of unrighteousness. What do we do with it? And that's the question that is asked for the whole Christian church, not just us in our days and hours and years that we have left, but for the whole Christian church. And it's been asked for almost 2,000 years. What then will we do with it? May God grant us the faithfulness that has been seen in the almost 2,000 years, so that the world may know the value of knowing this Jesus Christ, who is of eternal value to know. In Jesus' name, amen.